And when they meet those who believe, they say, "We believe." But when they are alone with their evil ones, they say, "Indeed, we are with you. We were only mockers." Subhanallah, making fun of Islam, of Muslims, of people who follow Islam. This is a sign of hypocrisy. How can a person make fun of Islam when they say they believe? How can they laugh and mock at the verses that Allah has revealed, the commands that Allah has given, what Allah has declared sacred? They think they know better so that they can criticize the religion of Allah? Such people are truly foolish. Allah says, but Allah mocks them and prolongs them in their transgression while they wander blindly. Meaning Allah has given them the freedom to do what they want right now. And they think what they're doing is good. They live in a fool's paradise. They're completely oblivious to their errors. And on the day of judgment, they will be mocked at. How? Their light will be extinguished and they will be left in darkness, alone and bewildered. Allah says, those are the ones who have purchased error in exchange for guidance. So their transaction has brought no profit, nor were they guided. Their example is like that of the one who kindled a fire, meaning at first he believed there was light. But when it illuminated what was around him, Allah took away their light and left them in darkness so they could not see. Remember, the light of the heart, Iman, is in Allah's hand. This is why we should pray, Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi nura. O Allah, make light in my heart. They did have light at the beginning, but when they feared worldly loss because of deen, when they saw the glitters of this world, they left the deen for the dunya. So the darkness of their desires, the darkness of their doubts and disbelief took over. And the inner light of faith was extinguished. And so they wander in misguidance, unable to find the way. Allah says, they are deaf, dumb, and blind, so they will not return. Meaning, they're unable to hear the words of guidance. When they hear such words, the sounds bounce back. The words don't reach the heart. They're unable to speak the truth. They're unable to see, to absorb the truth. The signs are laid out across the earth, but they fail to see them. The verses of Quran are filled with truth and guidance, but they don't benefit. Allah says, so they will not return, فَهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ, meaning they will not return to faith. They will remain in hypocrisy. Or their example is like a rainstorm from the sky, a heavy downpour, within which is darkness, thunder, and lightning. And this is referring to the verses which are being revealed, in which is light, but also some risks, things that are not always easy to do. What do the hypocrites do? They put their fingers in their ears against the thunderclaps in dread of death. They avoid the hard things. They avoid the commands that are difficult on the nafs. They don't want to hear anymore. They don't want to come to guidance. They feel it's too much. Wallahu muhitum bil kafirin. But Allah is encompassing of the disbelievers. A person should think, where can I escape from Allah? Which sky, which earth will shelter me? When the angel of death will come, there will be no escape, no getting away. Then I have to stand before Allah. So before that time comes, it is necessary that I prepare for it. Allah says, يَكَادُ الْبَرْقُ يَخْطَفُ أَبْصَارَهُمْ. The lightning almost snatches away their sight. Every time it lights the way for them, they walk therein. But when darkness comes over them, they stand still. And if Allah had willed, He could have taken away their hearing and their sight. Indeed, Allah is over all things competent. But He has given them some time right now. When there is a command that seems easy, when things seem easy, hopeful, they're willing to follow the religion. But when there is some difficulty, they stop. And Allah has not fully taken the means of guidance away from them. If He wanted, He could have taken away their hearing, their vision. And remember that these are the means of guidance, but He is still giving them a chance. If we are honest with ourselves, we would admit that there are times when our words do not match our actions. When there is laziness in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the love for the world is intense. Even Umar radiallahu anhu would ask Hudhayfa, adoring him in the name of Allah, that tell me, is my name amongst the names of the hypocrites that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed you of? Hamzala radiallahu anhu said, nafaqa Hamzala. He was afraid for hypocrisy for himself. The companions feared hypocrisy for themselves. And here we are, thinking ourselves to be perfect, sincere believers who are safe from hypocrisy. Remember, the person who feels secure from hypocrisy is the one who is truly at risk of hypocrisy. The believer is afraid of nifaq. So we should keep praying. We should keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma matti'na bi asma'ina wa absarina wa quwwatina ma ahyaytana waj'alhu al-waritha minna. O Allah, allow us to benefit from our hearing, our vision, our strengths. Don't take them away from us for as long as we live, and make them outlive us. Meaning, O Allah, enable us to have these abilities, these means of guidance until we die, so we can be on guidance. Now Allah addresses all of mankind. Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, worship your Lord. Devote yourselves to Him. Love Him the most. Have reverence for Him. Who is He? He created you. You are here because of Him. You are who you are because of Him. And He also created those before you, that you may become righteous. You may be safeguarded in the world against sin, and from falling in difficulty, and in the hereafter, from falling in hell. Who is your Lord? Recognize Him. He is the one who made for you the earth a bed, and the sky a ceiling, and sent down from the sky rain, and brought forth thereby fruits as provision for you. So do not attribute to Allah equals while you know. When you know that He alone is doing all of this, then He alone is worthy of your worship. La ilaha illallah. And remember, for ibadah, guidance is necessary. One needs to know what Allah likes and what Allah does not like. And for that, it is essential that one learns the Qur'an. So, the authenticity of the Qur'an is established. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ. And if you are in doubt about what we have sent down upon our servant, then produce a surah the like thereof. And call upon your witnesses, your helpers, other than Allah, if you should be truthful. But if you do not, and you will never be able to, because it is impossible for anyone to produce anything like the Qur'an, then save yourselves. Fear the fire, whose fuel is men and stones prepared for the disbelievers. This shows us that if the Qur'an is missing from a person's life, if they don't have Qur'an in their life, the guidance of Qur'an in their life, then the outcome is very serious. On the other hand, and give good tidings to those who believe and do righteous deeds, that they will have gardens in paradise, beneath which rivers flow. Whenever they are provided with a provision of fruit therefrom, they will say, this is what we were provided with before. Meaning they will be given familiar food. But of course, the deliciousness will be different each time. And it is given to them in likeness. Meaning even though in color and appearance they will look the same, in reality they will be different. And they will have therein purified spouses, and they will abide therein eternally. That life is never ending. It is eternal. So prepare for that life. But there are two conditions. Iman and amal salih. Faith and righteous action. And remember that righteous action has four components. First of all, ilm, knowledge. One must do it with knowledge. Secondly, niyyah. The intention should also be good for the sake of Allah. Then, sabr. Do it with patience. Don't give up and quit too easily. Then finally, ikhlas. Do it only for Allah, wahdahu, without any partner. This book is the great Quran. And Allah has made this Qur'an easy for the servants. It is Allah's speech, and it is also understandable to people. If you think about it, the speech, the language of people, especially those who are advanced in their knowledge, is sometimes very hard to comprehend. The more a person knows, the more complicated their speech becomes. But Allah, Rabbul Alameen, speaks to people in a way that they can understand. And this is why there are examples in the Qur'an. But when people fail to find fault in the Qur'an, they mock at the examples. They mock at the contents of the Qur'an. So Allah says, indeed, Allah is not shy. Allah is not timid to present an example. That of a mosquito or what is smaller than it. And those who have believed know that it is the truth from their Lord. Every detail of the Quran is important to them. But as for those who disbelieve, they say, what did Allah intend by this as an example? They don't understand because the hearts are covered. Allah misleads many thereby and guides many thereby, and He misleads not except the defiantly disobedient. So the reason for their misguidance is people's own deviation. It is their own fault. Allah says, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. When they deviated, Allah caused their hearts to be deviated. The person who surrenders before the command of Allah, Allah gives them guidance. But those who are fasiqeen, who defiantly disobey, who violate the boundaries set by Allah and pursue their desires, then such people are deprived of guidance. They are those who break the covenant of Allah after contracting it and sever that which Allah has ordered to be joined, especially relationships, and they cause corruption on earth. It is those who are the losers. We learned earlier about the muttaqeen, the muhtadeen, the salihin. And here, the fasiqeen are mentioned, those who break the promises that they make with Allah. They have no regard for la ilaha illallah. They take the name of Allah, they make promises in His name, and swear oaths in His name, and then don't fulfill them. And the relationships that Allah has commanded that they should be joined, they cut them off. Remember, the people who sever ties of kinship are deprived of Allah's mercy. And such people are khasirun. They suffer loss in this world and in the hereafter. There are two things that increase when a person joins ties of kinship. And they are life and rizq, sustenance. And everyone wants to live longer and have more money. And the key to this is to be good to one's relatives. When? When they do good to you, and also when they don't do good to you. Because remember that a believer doesn't just reciprocate. A believer is good. He does good regardless of how people treat him. Allah says, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ. How can you disbelieve in Allah? When you were lifeless, where did you come from? Who put life in you? And He brought you to life. Then He will cause you to die, meaning you're not in this world forever. This life is short. Then He will bring you back to life. Yes, there is another life. And then to Him you will be returned. And then there is no death. So there's two deaths and two lives. And this shows us that our life is not just in this world. The real life is the life of the hereafter. So we must prepare for what is coming ahead. It is He who created for you all of that which is on the earth. Then He directed Himself to the heaven and made them seven heavens, and He is knowing of all things. Now, the origin of mankind is mentioned. That where did people come from? Who was the first human being? وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ. And mention, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when your Lord said to the angels, indeed, I will make upon the earth a successive authority. They said, will you place upon it one who causes corruption therein and sheds blood? They weren't objecting. They were just expressing their concern and fear. While we declare your praise and sanctify you, meaning if the purpose of man's creation is to worship you, we are already doing that. Allah said, indeed, I know that which you do not know. You do not know the reason, the wisdom behind the creation of human beings. And He taught Adam the names, all of them. Allah gave knowledge to Adam alayhi salam before sending him on earth. Then He showed them to the angels and said, inform me of the names of these if you are truthful. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor upon human beings, that Allah has given us knowledge of what we did not know. It is knowledge that was given before the foods of Jannah. It is knowledge that was given to Adam alayhi salam before a spouse. And it is knowledge with which Adam was given preference over the angels. The angel said, Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. Exalted are you. We have no knowledge except what you have taught us. Indeed, it is you who is the ever-knowing, the ever-wise. Allah said, O Adam, inform them of their names. And when he had informed them of their names, he said, Did I not tell you that I know the unseen of the heavens and the earth? And I know what you reveal and what you have concealed. And mention, when we said to the angels, prostrate before Adam. So they prostrated, except for Iblis. He refused and was arrogant and became of the disbelievers. And we said, O Adam, dwell, you and your wife, in paradise, and eat therefrom in ease and abundance, from wherever you will. But do not approach this tree, lest you be among the wrongdoers. But Shaitan caused them to slip out of it. Slowly and gradually, he convinced them to eat the very fruit they were forbidden, and removed them from that condition in which they had been. And we said, Go down, all of you, as enemies to one another. Man is enemy to Shaitan, and Shaitan is enemy to man. And you will have upon the earth a place of settlement and provision for a time. So Allah created Adam, human beings, for earth. And in Jannah, there was a test to show that if a person disobeys their Rabb, then they cannot have Jannah. In order to be in Jannah, one has to please Allah. Then Adam received from his Lord some words, and he accepted his repentance. Indeed, it is he who is the accepting of repentance, the merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Adam alayhi salam that realization to repent. And then Allah taught Adam the words of repentance, and then accepted the repentance of Adam. Subhanallah, mercy upon mercy. Allah is pleased with the repentance of his servant. Allah rewards his servant when his servant repents. And this is good news. Yatubullahu ala man tab. The person who repents, then Allah accepts their repentance. So we should also repent to Allah from all of our sins. We said, go down from it, all of you. And when guidance comes to you from me, whoever follows my guidance, there will be no fear concerning them, nor will they grieve. This is the benefit of following guidance. In dunya and akhirah, their fear and their grief will keep departing from them. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا And those who disbelieve and deny our signs, those will be companions of the fire. They will abide therein eternally. After addressing all mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Bani Israel now specifically. Remember that this is one of the first surahs to be revealed in Medina. And at the time, besides the Arabs, three tribes of Bani Israel lived in Medina. And the Bani Israel were the descendants of Yaqub a.s. Prophets Musa a.s., Isa a.s., and many other prophets were sent to them. And several scriptures were also given to them. And the Prophet ﷺ was also sent to them. So they are addressed over here. Ya Bani Israel, O children of Israel, remember my favor, which I have bestowed upon you, the many religious and worldly blessings that I have given to you specifically, and fulfill my covenant upon you. That I will fulfill your covenant. When you will obey me, I will make you enter Jannah. And be afraid of only me. And believe in what I have sent down, confirming that which is already with you. And be not the first to disbelieve in it. And do not exchange my signs for a small price, and fear only me. You see, everybody knew that the Bani Israel were the people of the scripture. They were supposed to be people of knowledge, religious folk. So everyone would ask them about the Prophet ﷺ. But they would say unclear things about him, leaving people in doubt and confusion. So they are advised against that over here. Let the truth be known. Do not conceal it. And do not sell my religion for a petty worldly gain. And do not mix the truth with falsehood or conceal the truth while you know. And establish prayer and give zakat and bow down with those who bow. The most important act of worship that is being mentioned again now over here, as-salah. Do you order righteousness of the people and forget yourselves while you recite the scripture? Then will you not reason? Your words and actions should not be in contradiction. That is hypocrisy. Therefore, wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah, and seek help through patience and prayer. When in difficulty, seek Allah's help. And indeed, it is difficult except for those who are humbly submissive to Allah. those people who are humble before Allah, who willingly surrender before Him, they pray salah happily. Remember, salah is a test. It is a scale that will show you who you really are, what the level of your faith is. So check yourself. What is the state of your heart when the adhan is made, when the time of salah enters? How do you view the place of prayer? Is it a garden or a prison? Remember, sabr and salah, they actually create ease in life, because Allah says, seek help through patience and prayer. All of the prophets of Allah would seek ease through patience and prayer. And this was the way of the righteous also. Remember that when Sarah was held captive by the king and he intended to harm her, she began praying. And Ibrahim alayhi salam also began praying at the same time. And Allah delivered her from that tyrant. Salah brings Allah's mercy and protection. So who are people who actually like salah, who don't find it difficult? الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. Those who are certain that they will meet their Lord and that they will return to Him. They have yaqeen. Again it is said, O children of Israel, remember my favor that I have bestowed upon you and that I preferred you over the worlds. And fear a day when no soul will suffice for another soul at all, nor will intercession be accepted from it, nor will compensation be taken from it, nor will they be aided. No one will help there. So mend your affairs now. Now the Bani Israel are reminded of different blessings so that they realize their need of Allah and surrender to Him with gratitude. And recall, when we saved your forefathers from the people of Fir'aun, who afflicted you with the worst torment, slaughtering your newborn sons and keeping your females alive. And in that was a great trial from your Lord. And recall when we parted the sea for you and saved you, and we drowned the people of Fir'aun while you were looking on. This was necessary for the Bani Israel to see the armies of Fir'aun drowning. Because if they didn't see that, they wouldn't have closure. They would constantly live in fear. And recall when we made an appointment with Musa for 40 nights, then you took for worship the calf after him while you were wrongdoers. Then we forgave you after that, so perhaps you would be grateful. And recall when we gave Musa the scripture and criterion that perhaps you would be guided. So the book of Allah is for guidance. And recall when Musa said to his people, O my people, indeed you have wronged yourselves by your taking of the calf for worship. Imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rescued them, they watched their enemy drown, but instead of showing gratitude to Allah, they began worshipping the calf. So Musa alayhi salam said to them, so repent to your Creator and kill yourselves, kill one another. That is best for all of you in the sight of your Creator. The punishment was severe for this. Then He accepted your repentance. Indeed, He is the accepting of repentance, the merciful. And recall when you said, O Musa, we will never believe you until we see Allah outright. So the thunderbolt took you while you were looking on. Then we revived you after your death, that perhaps you would be grateful. And we shaded you with clouds and sent down to you manna and quails, saying, eat from the good things with which we have provided you. And they wronged us not, but they were only wronging themselves. And recall when we said, enter the city and eat from it wherever you will in ease and abundance, and enter the gate bowing humbly and say, Hitta, which means Astaghfirullah, that O Allah, relieve us of our burdens. We will then forgive your sins for you, and we will increase the doers of good in goodness and reward. But those who wronged changed those words to a statement other than that which had been said to them. Instead of saying hitta, they said hinta, which means wheat grain. So they basically mocked. So we sent down upon those who wronged a punishment from the sky because they were defiantly disobeying. Meaning there was nothing else to do than to punish such people. This is a punishment which they brought upon themselves. And recall when Musa prayed for water for his people. So we said, strike with your staff the stone. And there gushed forth from it 12 springs. And every people knew its watering place. Eat and drink from the provision of Allah. And do not commit abuse on the earth, spreading corruption. And recall when you said, "Oh Musa, we can never endure one kind of food. We can't eat the same food every day. So call upon your Lord to bring forth for us from the earth its green herbs and its cucumbers and its garlic and its lentils and its onions." Meaning we want the things that the earth grows. Musa alayhi salam said, "Would you exchange what is better for what is less? You want to give up man and salwa, heavenly food, for earthly food? If that is the case, then go into any settlement, and indeed you will have what you have asked. You can go get it yourself then." And they were covered with humiliation and poverty, and returned with anger from Allah upon them. That was because they repeatedly disbelieved in the signs of Allah, and killed the prophets without right. That was because they disobeyed and were habitually transgressing. So why did the wrath of Allah befall these people? Because of these reasons, and especially their habitual transgression. They're breaking the limits set by Allah. They're crossing the boundaries shamelessly in pursuit of their desires. We see that when the chosen people, who were favored with many blessings, when they were punished because of their transgression and denial, what does that mean? Why is this being mentioned over here? So that we take a lesson. We are very proud of the fact that we are ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And yes, this pride is fitting. We must be grateful to Allah for this. But we also have to watch ourselves. Remember that on the Day of Judgment, some people will come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but they will be removed far away from him. They will not even get to drink from the hawd. How will they get his intercession? So we have to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the true sense. We have to have taqwa. And remember that taqwa includes saving yourself from sin and transgression. And that is what will ultimately save a person from punishment in the hereafter. We have to stop ourselves from sins. Where the limits of Allah come, we have to stop. Because remember that one sin, one violation leads to another. And then a person gets stuck in that quicksand and they are worthy of Allah's wrath. And this is what happened with the Bani Israel. Now, a general invitation is given. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِئِينَ. Indeed, those who believed and those who were Jews or Christians or Sabians, meaning before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those among them who believed in Allah and the last day and did righteousness will have their reward with their Lord, and no fear will there be concerning them, nor will they grieve. So we see that iman with righteous deeds, this is what saves a person from fear and grief. A life of obedience to Allah. Mere affiliation to a group is not enough. Simply identifying with a certain group is not sufficient. There must be faith and righteous action. And recall when we took your covenant, O children of Israel. And we raised over you the mount, saying, "Take what we have given you with determination, and remember what is in it, that perhaps you may become righteous. You may be saved." We have been given the same command, that we hold on to this book firmly. Because when a person follows this book, only then do they have taqwa. Then you turned away after that. And if not for the favor of Allah upon you and His mercy, you would have been among the losers. So it is Allah's mercy that He saved them, and He gave them another chance. And the fact is that Allah keeps giving us more and more chances. You see, different trials, different tests that we experience in our lives, whether it is sickness or some financial trouble, why is that so? Why do these difficulties come? To draw our attention to Allah, so that we turn to Him, we incline towards Him, we run towards Him. But when we get lost in those trials and don't connect with Allah, then there is a warning over here. Every difficulty that you face, think, did this difficulty bring me closer to Allah or take me farther away from Him? Fortunate is the person who uses that time to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you had already known about those who transgressed among you concerning the Sabbath. Remember that they were forbidden from fishing on Saturday. So they would put the nets in on Friday and remove them on Sunday. And they would say, "We didn't catch the fish. The fish came themselves." What, are you trying to fool Allah? Are you trying to outsmart Him? So we said to them, be apes, despised. And we made it a deterrent punishment for those who were present and those who succeeded them, and a lesson for those who fear Allah. So what is the lesson for the muttaqeen? That no one can deceive Allah. Deception is the way of the hypocrites.